Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yes, I'm going like the Cooper to Hero!
Yes, yeah.
Oh, it's Faddy. Faddy's coming in a bit, but
We've been here for about a half an hour.
He's just stood there.
That's it.
Should
that should be a one-man show.
I don't know.
You could do that.
I don't know.
Naked.
No.
Oh, by the way, you could do that naked. You're one of the few.
Oh, naked.
Aye, naked. You could do that.
Just slide on.
He's a followed path. Similar paths, isn't it?
It's weird because you're telling the brilliant stories. I'm just listening to them. Because I'm the same as you. I was Adelaide.
We started Rangers.
Started Rangers. Both love doggy style.
Right. I don't.
Both Ireland, Australia.
But then the other thing, the player manager. I'm just hearing about shit. I forget about you were player manager. I was a player manager as well. Then
who were you?
I was Clydebank.
So you were.
Clydebank. I was at Ross County, and then I left to come down because I got the opportunity. To be player, and it doesn't work.
We like a Saturday night.
And, and a Sunday.
Have you ever double dated? Have you ever been? You met Carolyn, the missus.
Who's a guy's knows.
Aye. Ever been together as a?
I've always had to get him as soon as we've came. I get him away from Carol as quickly as possible.
She's a darling.
He's
a good lad.
He's never met any of my three. I don't know.
Who's your favourite? The three.
The three.
I met your girlfriends.
Fuck.
We have a few of them.
You see a bird with me as my girlfriend. The three? Probably. I don't know. Maybe the
one
third
or two one. Let's do off here.
Maybe. Probably my first one to my missus, and then my middle one was a night.
What made you go again and again?
Love it, mate. I love a night out. Right? No, I love a wedding. I love a wedding. I get married every month.
So it'll cost you a few bob.
Oh, aye.
Have you ever been to these weddings?
No, he's never invited me.
Listen, I'll get you the next one. by the way, everybody knows this. I get married in the 22nd of December. Hate Christmas, hate it. Get married in the 22nd of December, never seen it to the 7th of January.
That's cool. I remember you saying that. That's mad.
That's brilliant, mate.
She
fucked off.
Separate ways.
She went away. My best man, Joe McStay, I'll never forget.
Great guy, Joe. He wants to say like Pat as a painter, doesn't he?
But he's
great guy, mate.
Mike Neverson. He was my best man. He turned up with props and everything, right? Because we used to, Joe and I shared a flat, and we used to have a competition a Saturday night. Nobody like us before he went out. He had a couple of cans, and he would be getting a wee bit hyper. So we used to have a Gunnar the iron board. So we'd set up the iron board at a thing, mean you'd run in the flat and
jump out it.
Well, go backwards and you hadn't hit it, and then you put it up a bit and put it up a bit.
As you do.
Yeah, you start to adding cushions and all that. So Joke would bring in props to my best man's speech. And I'd say to him, it was brilliant as well, because prior he says, look, here's my speech. And I went, Joke, that's brilliant. You go with that. But he'd been up and down the stair having a wee nap, hadn't he? And that speech went right out the window. And my missus is sitting there. Do you know, this is a true story. Guys like Peter Hurst and all that are sitting, and they ran a book on my wedding day. to see how long it would last. Right? I had 6 months at 64 on, right? I had 100 quid in that. And I'm sitting looking at them, they're all pissing themselves and all what's happening. So I ended up, it wasn't a great night that night, I've got to say. It wasn't a honeymoon. I was running about the hotel asking a couple of birds up to the fancy now. I've got plenty of champagne up there.
Eric, somebody's asked to ask you about your time at Portadown. Big fan.
Aye, I told you earlier, come back with a sore neck, never seen the ball whatsoever. But there's a wee hint, there's a wee tip for guys that are going out on a Saturday night. Get the ironing board up.
Oh,
see if you can vault it. I didn't know that's a new one to me.
Did you ever see what when you came back later on that night? Did you ever use it to
somebody
on it?
To iron.
To put somebody on it.
All we need is fucking iron my faces now.
Oh,
that old, isn't
it? He's looking well.
You kidding?
No, he's doing well.
I've noticed something. He's telling me about a wee injury. He's going to let us know, but I just see a wee head knock as well.
I don't know what happened there, mate. Honestly, my daughter says that to me yesterday, but my ankle's been... I've not been able to play golf. I dig into Bradle Clyde on Saturday in a crutch. Boys were slaughtering me, and I couldn't tell them what I'd done.
Right, yeah, I'm desperate to know what you've done.
Right, do you watch Traitors?
Aye.
No, but I've heard a lot about it.
I get sucked into that. But it misses.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I'm sort of I shouldn't be left myself on a Saturday. I sit and seeing the voice and all that comes on, I put a towel over my eyes and... take the tool if I was going to turn rather than turn the seat. Right, I'm into all that stupid nonsense, right? And that's without a
wee Louis Walsh.
I was sitting there last Friday night and I'm right into Traitors and it gets to the end and the wee bird Molly, right? Uh-huh. So I fucking can't believe she votes the boy out and the Traitor boy takes the money. So I'm not involved in it.
Harry.
So I jumped up to grab my phone to phone wee Gordon Duncan, because he's right in it as well. And my flip-flop was there. Bang, right on the flip-flop, done my ankle, right? I'm lying on the floor, screaming like Big Tam Forsyth had just done me in a 50-50. And the next morning I got up, my ankle was like a balloon. And I had to literally take a crutch.
Crutching at the radio clout.
Just one flip-flop. Caused that.
The flip flops were sitting at the side, so as I jumped after the recliner, I think.
What were you wearing? Naked?
No, just on my bare feet.
Oh, my bare feet.
Right, I can imagine him in the house with a cravat and all that.
Mate,
a wee glass or something.
A wee glass of whiskey or something. He doesn't drink anymore, so
no,
he?
I was, every now and then.
I'll have a glass of wine or something. I was in the house last week and a guy walked right in my front door. He'd go to the wrong house and he's right. I nearly shot myself. I'm delighted he walked in.
Did he recognise you?
Eventually, aye, because he sent Gordon Duncan a text going, I've just walked in Daz's front door. He just walked in and started talking about, I think, dope or something, right? All I could hear was
that's
dope.
Gas.
I was thinking to myself, fucking, have I got a couple of Marley songs on there?
Uh-huh. That's a way ahead, actually, if you're not going to be drinking.
Supposedly it is. Good for you, mate, relaxes you.
Very much.
Talking about people just walking on without you knowing who they were. Tell a story about when you were your first day as player coach.
We signed.
You heard this?
I've got a wee bit of it back anyways, bro.
I left Wraith at the end of the season, went down to Ayr, and I wanted to become a coach. I wanted to start my coaching badge. So Ayr gave me the right, okay, you'll come in here as player coach under Simon Stainrod. Now, MD knows Simon, I'll tell you, one of the best players. Ability, unbelievable, mate. Unbelievable. Anyway, he was the most laid-back guy. He used to walk in with a big hat and the cravats and loved his red wine. He wouldn't have any Asda stuff. It was 40, 50 pound a bowl. Just, it was class, right? Anyway, first day training, Monday morning, up we go, on this public park. And I'm saying, right, wonder what's happening today. I'm just there, I'm sort of watching what's going on. Right into a shooting exercise, no messing about, right? No warm-ups, right? Two wingers. And Simon was in the middle. And
so he was joining in?
Oh, he was top man. So the boys were coming out, flying. He was running away, celebrating. So we're doing about 5-10 minutes, and I'm going, fucking hell, this is a bit boring. Next minute, this guy comes on, another coach, and he's, wow, whoa, stop, right, I'll tell you what, stick in our full, who's a fullback? I'm a fullback, right, you go over there, you do that, and you do that. Big son, right, okay. So fullbacks are over, and he's starting to interlink the passing and getting the balls doing Simon, diving headers, all celebrating. So I'm watching this guy, and I'm going, I've never seen him this morning at No, you know, the mean, you know, because the physios come in and all that. Oh, and I've not seen this guy. I wonder who he is. He must have been like fucking Faddy the day late, right? So I'm thinking, right, okay, here we go. Fuck's sake, that's a bit much. Bum, bum, bum. This went on for about half an hour. Right, lads, good session, good session. Go and get yourself a drink of water now. And he starts walking away. So Simon comes out and went, oh, what about my finish and all that? I went, oh, brilliant. I says, where the fuck's the coach? He went, I don't know. He says, I don't know him. I says, what do you mean? He says, oh, he says, it's just some geezer out walking his dog. He says, he's quite good, wasn't he? Good ideas. I'm saying, Simon, are you telling me? He went, I've never seen that guy in my fucking life before. He said, the boy literally was out walking his dog, stood and watched the training, knew it was Air United, walked onto the pitch, and took out a full.
Can you imagine he's just a guy who maybe takes a boys' club, sees a group of guys, maybe think, oh, I'm going to go in there and show them one or two things. I used to do that even, see when I managed, see when my boys were all, Mull United and Hamilton, I would go in and watch all the other guys coaching, and sometimes you would pick up a wee drill. You would see it and then you see.
I mean, when you walk on and fucking take it.
I know, but that takes a bit of bottle, doesn't it?
Was the dog just sitting shiting on the pitch?
The dog was just wandering away, right?
But there you go.
I mean, his dog away up the road.
Shows you that in back in the days, we all trained in public parks.
But before you even Rangers in that?
No. Well, the Albion, but it wasn't a public park.
Albion was a fucking.
It wasn't a great. A grit park and a grass park that
was
done.
Did you ever turn on a grit park at Rangers?
Red Ash.
Red Ash.
We trained it all the time.
We even played. I don't know, Fergie. When did you go to Rangers?
I was 84.
84. I was 80 when I joined. Mate, I'm no kidding. I hated it. Right, I couldn't do the training. It was a wee bit different by the time Fergie came. I couldn't do the training, so I used to get.
What do you mean you couldn't do the training?
It was too hard for me. Right.
Where did you come from?
Bonco Youth Club. Right. I helped build Mitchell Library. I was a stonemason.
Oh yeah.
I drapped a stone later on in the day. I worked here for a week. Couldn't handle it. Greggy signed me on the Sunday. I did train the Monday, but every Tuesday was a practice match, right? This is true. And every Tuesday was a and I thought, practice match and then into that wee gym. Remember the wee gym?
Aye.
Wee gym was horrendous. The hurdle in it you had to go over and then these weights. I couldn't lift the weights, right? I was fucking like that. So, on a Monday, after the first week, Monday night, I decided I can't train because we're playing a practice match on Tuesday. I'm not playing because the two centre halves were Tam Forsyth and Gregor Stevens.
Gregor Stevens, crackpot, psycho, real psychopath.
I used to travel. Big Tam, right? And Big Tam. Tom McLean, Tam Forsyth, David Cooper, and me, and they used to get me at Hamilton. I couldn't drive at times. As I say, I just left school, and Gore and Coop would jump in. The two Tams were in the front, and so I went to go at the door. They used to lock the door. Down the window, any Swedish son? And I'd be like, oh, no, I've no idea. Ah, well, you fucking know them all. Windy up, and they'd fuck off, right? So I'd be standing there as they going through Hamilton onto the motorway, and I'm thinking, we're on the slip road there for him to come back. So I then bolt up to the train station in Hamel, right? And jump the train and then get a bus. So I get slaughtered with Affy Wee Joe Mason, you remember Joe? Slaughtered Affy Joe. And then the next, I go, what is Tam like? Well, he likes bonbons, right? Oh, well, fuck, right. So I had to go up and get my quart of strawberry bonbons for the next day. Sure as I'm sitting there, same thing, same scenario. Coop went, if you go, I went, I've got the bonbons, don't worry about it. Sorted, left today, winded. Any sweeties, I went, ah, here you go, Tam, strawberry bonbons. Fucking lemon ones I like. Fucked off. So, it was terrible, right? So,
yeah, bringing, that's good.
So right away, so then, on a Monday, I thought, I can't do the training. I can't play against Forsyth and Stevens because it was old days then, right? Tackles were tackles. And big Tam and Gregor at the back, and he'll tell you, see when you walked into the dressing room, Gregor Stevens was the most quietest, nicest. You could walk about and hit him with a wet fish, right? You could slap it and he wouldn't say a word to you. See the minute mate, I'm not kidding you on. It was unbelievable. And Joe Mason, at that time, as a centre-forward, they would give you dogs up if you didn't hold the ball up. Hold the ball up, hold the ball up. Well, I can't hold my fucking shorts up, never mind the ball, right?
Because it's out of your dick.
So I used to hammer my foot on a Monday, right? I put a towel around it, through, get a hammer out, and
start. Are you
through his foot, right? Well, I remember, I'm only in the door.
And he's I would hammer
my foot.
Did you make it numb?
No, he'd try and get a bit of bruising so I could get into Tam Craig. I'm sitting there, right? And I'd probably start, right? And my dad, oh, fucking hell, he's on a good one than he. It's lasting longer as well. Right, and I'm, right? And then I begin, and then I realised, and he'll tell you, I thought, I went in and, Tom, I've got a wee bit of redness, a wee bit of bruising on there. And he's like, right, okay, you're no training today, you're coming with me. But I found out that going with Tam Craig was actually worse than training.
Oh, the physio would pump you?
Unbelievable, unbelievable. And then I sort of grew the habit of that. But I just couldn't handle the physical side of me. I didn't know that.
You said was your boy, you were quite a wee tough guy, weren't you?
I loved in amongst it all. I loved all that. I loved getting.
But you played in a pissy position. Midland Park was all right.
Like,
you know what I mean? The boss coming up.
I didn't know you were like.
You could actually hear the two of them going, "Your turn, right?"
Your turn. See, you and Gregor Stevens, he used to turn up in Panama Jacks, which the nightclub, doing it to Clyde and all that. We'd be in there, you know, try to get the best of gear on. He would just turn up with a big anorak, he'd piss in the rain and just throw it at the bar.
He's hood up.
And he'd just turn round. Honestly, and just clock everybody and just sit, have a couple of beers. I wouldn't even talk to you and walk away. It was the one that we played the reserves at Fir Park. We've scored, a guy's giving him abuse, the Motherwell fan, beside the dugout. So we didn't know this until after the game. So everybody's like, we've scored the goal. I'm celebrating. He's ran over, vaulted the wee wall at Fir Park. Bang! Just done the boy, by the way. Boom! Aye. Vaulted back on, carried on with the game. He was a psycho.
Was he?
Aye.
Would you not kick him back now?
I'd fucking kick him back. I used to wait till he came out of the shower and all that. I wouldn't even get in the same
shower.
Need protection. But can you imagine? If you were getting into him, it's all right a wee bit for us because I can see the game ahead. Yeah. He's got his back to everyone.
Coop and games. See the minute Tam come round there, right? Coop used to just kick the ball at the park. You're so on Tam. And these days training was it was slide tackles. It was right in about you, and you've just come out of school. And so you've watched
what
these
age were you when you signed for Rangers?
16.
And what, straight for a boys' club? You hadn't played with the Rangers 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s?
I played in the reserves when I was 15 at Fir Park with Colin Steen and all that. Right, this is how bad fucking Rangers were at that time. I brought up Mairbo's Road, right? I'm 15. And I get a phone call the Friday night for Joan Mason, right? You're playing the reserve. Colin Steen, all these guys were playing. Johnny Hamilton, they'd won trebles and everything. Great experience. Brian O'Hare, all these boys. And I'm still at school. And as I say, Fir Park to Airbus Road's a 9-iron into the wind, right? 2 minutes up the road. And I'm like, Dad, I've just got a phone call there. I'm playing, I'm in the reserves tomorrow. Joking, right? I want you in at Ibrox, been here at 12 o'clock. I'm going,
left 2 minutes for the ground.
I fucking left 2 minutes away from Fir Park. But the discipline was unbelievable. I had to drive, my dad drove me and dropped me off at Ibrox, right? Jumped in the team bus, come by my fucking house, right? Played the game, fucking drove by my house, right?
Brutal.
By my house! I'm sitting here, my mum and all that's up at the window.
did you see anything?
My fucking sister and all that's up at the dinner, like, I'm sitting, honestly, going
back to Ibrox to come back to
Ibrox. and then back to my fucking dish.
Amazing.
Oh, mate, honestly. I played an S-form game the Sunday, Greggy Pultman on the Monday, and that was me. But the first, it was, honestly.
Was it tough? Was it tough at first? When did it get easier?
I think once you're in, about 6 months in, 7 months in, and then you can see the next batch. It's like a fucking jail, isn't it? You can see the next batch coming in. Here's fair game, Durant. No,
then when I get to that fair game.
You have no idea what yous are going to show you, boys.
So how was the big boy, Gregor Stephen, with yous when yous first met him? Was he all right?
Like Dad says, he didn't say much to you, but he would turn up. And I'm not just saying Panama Jacks. Other kind of... Just the Dan in Glasgow. He just appeared from nowhere. How he got in through past the doorman, I don't know.
Well, he'd have punched fuck at him, wouldn't he?
But he wasn't the biggest, I know, wouldn't he? No,
oh, but morning, Gregor.
Morning. Very polite.
He was like, he spoke like Michael Jackson. right in your thinking.
Light voice.
On it,
I can see them bringing the memories, mate. Look,
I played.
I wanted to ask you quickly, because both of you played in Australia. Why did you go for it?
A bit like Daz taking that, which we didn't hear on camera. He's going to tell to meet a few bob.
How was the goal? Good back then.
So aye, but at least you had.
Where'd you go?
I went to Adelaide, but at least it was we Albie Craig.
Albie could play with Park there.
So I think you'd a better agent than me, by the sounds of it, because the money changed as soon as I got off the plane. I couldn't wait.
Oh, the money changed.
Oh,
the money
halved, and I was supposed to be getting a house. The family supposed to come there. No, I was putting this wee dingy hotel, which in it, and then the guy was a Yugoslavian manager who I just didn't. Remember, I told you before, he was trying to show me how to switch a play, and he wanted to play the kind of. I used to just fizz it, you know, just with the laces. But he wanted to play the loop ball. And he's come there and he's showing me what part of the fit and all that. I'm fucking looting him. I'm looting him. I'm going, like, ah, you're fucking winding me up. And I'm going, but if I play, just the argument, I says, if I play the loop ball, by the time it loops in there, I says, the defender will get to him. I says, and I've done it. I says, so if I just go out and I zing it, I says, as quick as I can, give him a wee bit more time to get away. But no, I had to play the loop ball. So when earlier there was some flamingos that were on the top of the crossbar.
He brought that to Wraith with me. Gaffer, I'm playing the loop ball now.
The loop ball.
Wow, I'm fair
imagine
enough.
Getting told
to play the loop ball. At 29:30, you're old.
Rangers, isn't it?
You know, how to play a ball and what part of the fitting.
So how long did you last?
6 weeks.
Is that it?
6 to 8 weeks or something. And in the last week, because I stopped training. I went, I'm not fucking training. We were training up a week back. So the wee physio, the wee kit guy was brilliant with me, because it was surreal, because it was coming up to Christmas. I was desperate to get home. I was sitting at the pool during the day having a couple of beers.
Nice.
And I could hear, you could hear Christmas songs and all that. Happening, it's like in 35
degrees. Well, that
happens at Christmas. But not on a steel, you haven't, it's 35.
It's still Christmas.
I used to go up my sunbed across the park. There you go, the school wains and Santa Claus is kicking about, it's 35 degrees.
Not like that, is it?
Nah, I was like, get me.
Was Carol Lurby or just yourself?
No, it was supposedly I was going to get the family. They just changed everything.
So did you save a few quid or no?
No. I didn't make any money.
You were saying that you told your missus you were going over there to get you a few quid.
Fuck me, man. I was coming back to buy a yacht and everything. I get some contract and 8 weeks it was, 2 months now. I can't pass that up. I says to her, and it was my first wife, and I says, look.
The one you liked.
New house, everything, family. I says, come back, mega money. Anyway, I arrives there, 10 minutes in the country, and this guy shouts at me, and that was the end of me. Ends up getting all my money, right? Paid up front. My return ticket, all done. So I goes to training. I must have trained about a week. I played two games or something. So when I come back, just quickly, I come back, I was on Radio Clyde, and I like a lie, right? I tell a wee fibber, do. So I was talking about Australia, and I went, I played against that fucking Postecoglou who's coming to Celtic. Hopeless, and I gave him this and that, and the boys are, fucking shut up, you're telling lies. I happened to actually, he was my teammate. I think it was David Friel for the Sun, went in and dived into it. And I actually played with Postecoglou.
Did you?
Aye.
What was he like? Can you remember him now?
Not really. I wasn't there long enough. Uh-huh. Right, I ended up, I come back skint. right? The yacht and all that, the deposit and all that for a yacht get done. Come back absolutely skint. Ended up running about Australia with this guy that was the biggest con guy in the world. Was it?
Did you not get put in the back of what?
I had a night out with, by the way, I had a great time. Puskas and George Best. Unbelievable.
How did that come about?
Because Puskas was involved with the club. I think he went on to manage it.
He did manage it. He was Andy's manager, that's right.
Aye, he went on to manage the club. And there was a big sort of a dinner and George Best turned up at it. And I'd just arrived in at the club at that time. And I was invited and that boy and we all ended up at this nightclub, mate, honestly. I'm thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? Ended up at the racing. Now, and we're in Melbourne, the racing, you get about 9 o'clock. There's three different types of racing. It's right. Not just the Willie Carson, the way you go. It's the carts and right. All that carry on, right? Mm-hmm. I was in for you about 9 o'clock to about 9 o'clock at night, never seen a horse, right? True. And I was in with the Cassie neighbours. Remember neighbours?
Harold Bishop,
Scott Robinson, what do you call it?
Kylie Minogue.
Scott, is she Kylie, in that? Kylie, they were there.
No way, you're Kylie
Minogue. Oh, no, they were all there. Aye, I was.
Speed her?
Oh, I was up fucking dancing with her. Never mind speed her. They gave me, her and Jason gave me this wee plaque just to.
You had a threesome with them, didn't you?
And well,
Jason and Kylie.
By the way, I would have gave that up to have a threesome with them. I'm telling you. Especially for you.
So how long did you last? No, in the threesome.
I was 6 weeks, and then I sort of ran out of money. Energy as well, mate.
Was that you done after that?
I was in the front page of the papers and everything.
What, in Australia?
I disappeared. Fuck's sake, I get brought out of this big kid because I'd banged a lot of goals in at Wraith and all that care on. I had a good reputation. And like Fergie says, put in Rangers and all that. Remember at that time, Australian football was just starting to blossom. So all of a sudden you were a wee bit and then they were fucking destroying me for turning on. Oh, terrible.
Why you met her?
That's hard to say. I didn't play long enough to sort of judge myself. You know what I mean? I was like Telio at Celtic out here. I fell out with
one of their main players, actually. It was the captain.
Why?
Because he was sucked up his arse. You know, and I could.
That was different.
Such a Scottish
thing. I sucked up everything he done and all that.
The manager sucked up his ass. Was everybody, he
your position? All the players.
Did, no, he was your position?
No, he was a forward. Centre forward. And he was bang average. And he had such a high...
opinion yourself.
He just done my nut in, by the way.
And did you say that to him?
That's where I was stupid as a player. I did when I couldn't keep my mouth shut at times, you know, just up to a bit and then just I would just go for it.
But I wanted to ask you because did you watch Mulpey and Madison last night fighting each other the full
was
game?
Was this the darts thing?
The darts thing.
Fighting each other the full game.
Did you ever, Mulpey was good,
but he was pushing everybody. I saw the start of the game. And then who was it? Somebody, one of the boys, the Spurs boys, just gave him one. And he goes doing like a sack of totties.
Did you ever a player you played against that you'd always fight? You talk about that guy that was on your team, but an opposition player. When you played against him, you'd always give each other a bit.
Who's the referee? It would be, who's the boy Clark, the referee?
Kenny Clark,
who's now an after-dinner speaker. He was an absolute nightmare, by the way.
Huh?
Used to, but I don't know, for whatever reason when I played, when you're about to play a pass, you used to cut across me all the time. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I said,
was it the ball you were playing?
Was that? I'm going, is that intentional? And sometimes when he would run it, I'd actually have to stop him and go and watch him going, are you fucking winding me up?
He has got a bit size 12 feet as well, isn't he?
But do you know something? When you just think, I'm going that way, I'm going to play that pass, and then you're away, and then Kenny Clark would come from anywhere and write a toast me, by the way. Stop me playing it, and I'm like, ah. So,
Kenny, I'll take him out.
What about you? Opposition player?
I was a centre forward, mate. I never fought with anybody.
No, no centre halves that you would.
No, at all. I got on with all my centre halves.
Did you?
I just liked a bit of fun, a bit of laughing and carrying on. I didn't.
Just quickly, was John McStay a good player? Because he told me he was.
Joke!
It was him that got heeded to Ferguson, wasn't it?
He made a fucking living out of that. we went to Spain, right? Joe is the best boy I've ever met.
He's a great guy.
Right.
His missus is a cracker as well. She's thinking he's Mark Burchell's cousin, isn't
he? Aye, we matched him. Aye. And he was running about. We were all, you know what like is, you're doing the beach in Magaluf, old Magaluf one, and you're running about, you had a few bevies, and you'd look up and Joe was up in the prom bitch, stoning and telling him they were a strip on. Hey, remember Dung Ferguson headbutt and all that? Then the fucking, aye. That's where he got me. Right. Do you want a 40? And I swear.
No way he's had a 40 like that.
Fucking ones. Right, he was running. Oh, he was fucking mad joke, honestly.
Amazing. Yeah. Just quickly as well, before we go into the football, Lewis continues to rip it up in Serie A. I heard he was outstanding in the San Siro.
He's playing at a good level at the minute. And the thing that I noticed right away, that the captain of the club was playing, he started, so he was normally captain, but wasn't he? Lewis was a captain.
Oh, so he
as well.
Came back, he was on the pitch, and Lewis still kept
aye,
the captain.
Aye, still, I don't know, I mean, I've met him, he's a lovely guy, but he played really well. Listen, I've said to you before, I'm trying to keep it down. I can't believe how well he's fitted in, everything. And then there was again, after the game, he's doing the interview. The guys are asking him in Italian, he's answered back. Some of the guys are asking him in English, but he still answered back in Italian. So he's just,
are you sure he's your son?
I know,
I've said that before. I know, 24 years ago, so I've said this before. There must have been, I don't know, the milkman. I need to kind of question that. But
does he talk Italian?
There's a few Italian fucking.
Like Amaruso, is he your milkman?
He gave the missus a French.
He's playing really well, aye.
French. Have you got kids?
One.
Aye.
Boy. A wee girl, she's fucking. She's 30 odds.
Plenty of his kids run about Lanarkshire. South Lanarkshire North.
What did she do?
Fuck knows. What did she do?
I'd ask you to interest your children.
I've got a granddaughter.
Oh, have you nice.
That's
same as him.
She's with us in a wee lake. That's brilliant.
How old's she?
She's just about, she's 14 months now. She's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love her to death.
So I school and that.
Take her to school, do you?
I'll pick her up and everything. I've been there since day one.
Magic.
Ah, brilliant. It is. Gonna beat it, eh?
Aye. I love it. So I do.
You think Lewis will stay at Bologna this summer?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You need a club visit.
Well, I'm going to we were supposedly, you kind of spoke about it, taking a camper van. I know the Clyde are going in a camper van to the Euros, aren't you? Are you doing that?
I fucking told you that.
Well, I heard that.
Have you seen it? I tell you what. Journey thought it's a fucking killer.
Do you want to know how long it is? It's 23 years to get to Bologna. It's 21 hours.
I'll definitely do it, mate.
I thought it was something.
Do you get us all access to be able to speak to Morton?
Oh, no, you're not.
Fucking captain.
You'll not get access to Morton.
How?
Nobody does. Morton just does.
Carol does.
No, you'll not get access to him, but you're in the stadium, that I'm sure you'll be fine. Because after the games, when you want some pictures and all that, they're so friendly, they're so welcoming, it's unbelievable. You can go onto the pitch. You saw some photos. Remember I took a photo with my big mate?
Yeah.
Big Swanee.
That's right, Big Swanee.
About a doggy style on the park and all that. I don't think that's the kind of right thing to do. You would love it. You'd love the city, I know. Just the food.
Where do you think he'll stay in Italy if he does? If he is,
I think he'll stay in Italy. Aye, definitely.
One of the big boys?
I don't know, but it's he's doing all right. So there's talks at the moment.
He's a protector now, isn't he?
Aye,
he's a protector.
If that was you, you'd be talking. You'd be fucking screaming for the roof.
I'm be tapping him left, right, and centre.
He does that.
Not at all. No.
I wondered how you walked in with Euros today.
Right, Coupon results.
Well, now,
you're a godsend. Faddy's going to be in 5 minutes. So just go
through the Coupon. How did you?
He's a godsend to me, mate, because he finished last with 2 out of 6.
I'm not buying
that. You might be an expert, man.
Nah, no.
Faddy, 3 out of 6. Del Boy, me and you, 5 out of 6, mate.
Right, what was the one that let us down? Or let me down?
Did you know?
Must have been Kilmarnock.
Kilmarnock.
The Kelly, oh, the draw. Well, mate. So that's right. Because you're sitting at the... You're
who's your four at
the
meet?
See, just on that Kilmarnock, the one that done us. What about us ending off? What'd you make of that?
I was on.
You're talking about people kicking you and all that back in the day, and you're getting red cards for that.
That's not sending off, is it?
Nah,
that's not
saying
enough, mate. Nah, I agree. You can talk about the follow of the foot and everything like that, but and people say, well, he's 2 feet off the ground. I don't think that is a send-off. I think that's a terrible decision.
What, you said it upset the pitch?
Listen,
is this excessive forcing? How you meant to tackle without force?
Listen, don't even go there with me. I don't get it. You know what I mean? Have you, so it should be non-contact then. If that's the case, football should be non-contact. I say, well, that's the route we're going down. It's crazy. And again, you see goals that are chopped off because of contact. There's a bit of con. You know, they'll find something, VAR. Did you see the game last night as well? The Chelsea? It was the big centre back for Liverpool?
Van Dijk.
Van Dijk, it just comes through him, hits him. It's clear, you know, it's a penalty
kick. Is that the one on goes Gallagher?
It's a penalty. So, I'm fucking. VAR
doesn't. He's not having VAR.
I'm not having VAR.
But back in the day, did you just boot fuck at each other? Right?
Unbelievable it was.
Was it?
Do you know, you knew that when you played on a Saturday, right? Because that's when we played, 3 o'clock Saturday. You knew that the centre half had one on you. You knew that. You knew as a centre forward playing with your back to the goals, like say, fucking remember in the days it was Roy Aikins and all these boys, right? McLeish Miller and all they knew how to fucking
belt you.
Oh, jeez, oh my. But you accepted it because you knew that that's because the first thing you'd jump up and say, oh, first one ref. Aye, okay, that's right, on you go. And
would you give them a fucking back?
If I could, but I wasn't really. I'm more a lover than an aggressor.
You kept sticking your arse out and putting
the biggest lesson I got was Billy Abercrombie, St Mirren.
St Mirren, aye. Top player with Billy.
I was what, 60, so aye, but he could put it in as well. He done me, should have broke my leg.
Still talking about football?
but that was a lesson. So right away, what was it? I was 16, 17, just get into the first team. And he'd done me a topper down at Love Street, and I thought that's
going to make guys
sure that doesn't happen again.
So
I thought the next day, because I was just going in fair and square for the ball, and he was just clever enough that he was just a wee bit higher and just went right through me. And I was lucky my leg never broke. But
you said Souness used to actually pass the ball to people to go early on to go and hit them.
He was a maniac as well, wasn't he?
He could
do everything. Everything, you know what I mean, in the game, he could score wonderful goals, his passing range, but that physicality, that just
who
he
was the hardest you played against? Who was the dirtiest that you played against? Was it Roy Aitken?
I didn't think Roy Aitken was that bad, to be honest with you.
Big Roy could put, Doug Rugby was a fucking nightmare, man. Remember the left back at Aberdeen?
Mm-hmm.
Big Doug?
He used to take the T-through.
Fucking hell.
What, it just hit you, huh?
Oh, he could put it about, yeah. There were a few. There was clever guys because in the days you could, probably go over the ball was a lot. Midland Park was like that because, as you say, if you just ran that ball a wee bit too
hard,
you went to the top of it and then people. We Ali McDonald at Rangers was brilliant at it. By the way, Doddy
was one of my favourite players.
Just because he was a hard bastard.
No, you've seen the goals he scored, Alan McDonald. Running through the middle of the park, wasn't he, and getting on the end. He's only a wee guy, even wee on us, with the heat. He used to score some brilliant goals. Top football player.
Brilliant. Right, this week's news, big news, Barry Robson's gone at Aberdeen. When did you see it coming in two? Is it the right decision?
I named it on Saturday.
Did you mate?
On my show, aye.
What, after? Well, that was before the Dundee game you named it?
Aye. Right. I named it on Saturday. I thought it was. He was a dead man walking, right? And when the supporters, especially a club like that, turn against you,
tough.
You're one bad result away from getting sacked, right? And he seemed to have this wee knack that when he was under pressure, he'd flip a wee result, take pressure off. But it was just a matter of time. I don't like seeing managers. You're looking now at our Premier League. We're just coming into February. Five managers already. It's frightening.
Is it too many then?
100%. But it's just the nature of the beast now. You know what I mean? That's just the way it's happening. And I think it's a bit unfair. One, I think the people that appoint the managers have got to take a responsibility.
Good point.
Right? Because it's very simple now and very easy. And Barry went in there as caretaker manager. And he done well. You've got to say, yeah. He done great. But if you're sitting there, you've got to look at the overall picture of listen, this is a long term. We've got to try and rebuild the club. Is Barry at that place that he's ready for that? And sometimes you go too quick. Look at all the appointments within, you know, Hamill at Motherwell as well, and you go McLean at St Johnston and all these boys. Mm. Now, these boys might go on to be good managers and they're probably terrific coaches, but it's all about timing and the right place and the right time for them. And I think sometimes it's a wee bit unfair in them. They get thrown in so quickly. And
so the guys that made the decision,
Dave Cormack, he's came out and said that.
Dave Cormack. And then you look away back, you look when they let McInnes go, which I thought was a mistake. And I didn't like the way it ended anyway in McInnes. I thought it was poor when you think what he did for that club. But then bringing in Stephen Glass, an inexperienced manager.
And then good Jim.
Jim, I think Jim
had a bit of experience, didn't he?
Aye, but I think Jim's was all about timing, because Jim hadn't been doing that well at St Mirren, but then they went on a good run of results, and just as Aberdeen needed a manager, so it was a wee bit of fortune, I think, there. But then Jim was caught between, you know, like, kind of whether to go and play this free-flowing football or else be this kind of well-organised, so it didn't quite work out for him. And then with Barry getting in there as well, what you're saying, interim manager, I'd have liked to have seen that him just go in there and do what he'd done, because he steadied the ship, got them at the end of the season in a decent place. But it's a job for an experienced manager. I don't think he was ever going to be the right guy for that job. What's going to happen with him? So he can't fall back into working with the youth.
No, that'll be him gone now.
Which is a crying shame, because he had a good job, and I think that's where he's best at, is working with the younger guys. You know,
I think he wants to be a manager, though, eh?
And he's in, I just personally think it was too early.
But do these guys need more time? Do you need to take in the fact that they had Europe this year for the first time? I mean, you look at Arteta at Arsenal, right, who's now challenging for the league. He finished 8th his first 2 years at Arsenal. Even top managers like him need time. Why did the guys in Scotland not get that time?
Well, that's maybe you're talking about the guys at the top then. I've spoken to him. Has there been a bit of pressure that's come upon Barry, obviously, with the fans? It wasn't nice to hear on Tuesday night, you know, the way he reacted to him. It was horrible, but it's horrible to see that. Doesn't matter how you're doing, Faddy. Horrible to see that. But ultimately, it's the guys at the top, you know, whether they're going to stick with that manager. That's what they've done at Arsenal with Arteta. They can see the bigger picture. But once the pressure goes on Cormack, he's getting a bit of stick, and a few of the others. They've just.
Don't get me wrong, you can turn it around, right? You can, because it happened to me here. We were going through a sticky spell, but.
You went from terrible to bad, didn't you?
Aye, we were fucking. Well, it wasn't me, it was all the players. They just weren't listening. And round about November, they staged a protest against me at home, right? Playing St Mirren, I think it was. I knew it was happening, right? And when I walked to it, there were a good crowd in at that time, because it was a good game. And everybody, I even the St Mirren fans, all held up red cards, right? I have to say, fuck off. So you're standing there, and you're trying not to ignore it, by the way. Honestly, it's a nightmare.
Did it bother you, be honest, at the time, did it?
Aye. See, MD comes in and goes, I don't read the papers, I don't listen to you, I go on about my work, I believe. It's bollocks, criticism is very hard to take.
It's like when the manager says, when it's an incident, I've not seen it
never
back
seen
yet.
It's
bollocks, mate. Everybody looks at it, everybody loves a partner back, but when you get a bit of criticism, and I remember standing there going, oh my God, I didn't let any of my family ever go and see me play football.
Because of the abuse, like?
I didn't want to be shy, and they were sitting there, right? The only time.
But you were never. Look at things. You were never.
You know what I'm saying, Faddy.
You know what like it is. Right? But the only time it ever happened to me, and I didn't know, we drew Rangers in the Scottish Cup at Ibrox, and I'm going back there first time as a manager, and. I gave all my tickets away and all that, Kieran, because I keep my family out the road. And I was a manager at that time. So I goes down and no, like, as you're excited, you got a fat team boss, you're going through where it all began for you and stuff like that. So all the players are in, and I says to players, right, go and see the pitch. No, we like it. You go and see the pitch. So BBC, I think, or something come in. Daz, can you do a trackside interview? I went, I need bother. Because down there, all excited, you know. But cut long story short, get the players in. So we're in the away dressing room at Ibrox, not the players. You know what like it is? It's massive. And I'm standing there. And I'm going through a wee 2 minutes of my team talk. And I can see people sort of looking behind me. That's just true as I'm sitting here. I go, what the fuck's going on? So I turned around. This guy comes walking out the toilet, right? And he's pulling his zip up. He's coming walking out the toilet. All the players, and I've just turned around and I've looked at him, right? And he's walked right by me. The place is silent. Just up and shoot anywhere. Oh, the best tonight, son. Hope you get fucked. Walked right. It was my dad.
Right. No chance.
Right, what had happened was, right.
That's a beauty, by the way, isn't it?
What had happened was, because I was going back for the first time, David Murray had got in touch with my father and invited him in as a guest, but I don't know. Right. So when he comes into the hall, they're meeting him, he's desperate for a toilet. So they said, look, go up to the dressing room because you might see Gordon. Gordon might be in there. So my dad's away in the toilet, right? But that time, just as the thing, we were getting the players in, and I'm standing there, and I'm no kidding you on it, it was the way he done it. No, a typical. It just comes in, he's pulling it, and everybody's looking, going,
did you tell them who it was?
Oh, the best son, I hope you get fucked, right? And he goes out and I went, that's my old man.
Who was the score?
The beat, by the way, we're one each up to about 10 minutes to go in Gascoigne. Fucking Henry Smith's out organising the war. The ref's gone, right, don't take the free kick. What does Gaza do? He runs up, flicks it round the wall, fucking scores, 2-1, wow. The ref, points to the thing, goal.
I didn't know Henry was your keeper. Yeah, you were like that, don't you?
Oh, I
was. Hands in his pockets like that.
Boys. How long after the protest did you get sacked, or did you manage to turn it around?
Oh, right, I'm back. Sorry. To that. I'm a fucking Billy Connolly. Billy Connolly here. But I'm talking about turning it round. That year, I went on to cup final, semi final, 6 days.
So it can be done.
And that's what I'm saying. It can be done, but I went on.
But what had you done before that? What was yours?
I took them for the second division. Won the second division my first year up.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And then we survived. I think, did we finish second against Hibs's Alan McLeish's side? So, but the expectation would be that.
Yeah,
plus the fact, I was signing guys, and you know what, like, the stories are going to be. People are, oh, big John Hughes, he's on X so much. Don't get it wrong. They were on good money. But I was a top earner. I would never see all that bollocks, right?
Did you have that in your contract?
Faddy, I'm a great believer. Manager always earns the most top cash.
I think Moyes had that at Everton.
Fergie Man Unit, is that right?
That was the rumour,
aye. You've got to have that.
I think it's right.
Yeah.
I think
you have got to be the highest. But that's what I'm saying. So I was very fortunate that I went on a nice run, a good run, a cup run, and we got Kilmarnock in the cup and all that, and we beat Kilmarnock, and we started beating Premier Dundee United. Dundee were in the Premier League at the time. So all of a sudden, we get Rangers in the cup final on the Sunday, back up on the Saturday to play Celtic in the semi-final and the Scottish Cup. So it was I turned it around, but I've got to be honest with you, and that's what I'm saying about managers and players. See, that time, I was actually in that dugout thinking, if I get beat today,
I'm gone
here.
But how was it gone, like your bad run? Like,
we're sitting mid-table.
every week or?
No, and with a couple of injuries, but the problem was, I was signing, and this is where I put a noose around my neck, I've signed guys like Pat McGinley, it came for Hibs, right? Mm-hmm. John Hughes and people like that. So all of a sudden, when you had guys in that calibre, you were expected to win every game, because people would go, like the news, see if you're in that first division, you're full time, and I'll go, oh, well, you're full time, and you're paying the most money, that guarantees you winning the league. It doesn't. It does not guarantee you win. Have a look at what Chelsea are doing, how much money they've spent, they're all over the place. But that's just the expectation that was on me as Ayr United. And you know what, like, as people were putting rumours about, oh, so-and-so's get X amount, so-and-so's get this, and that, oh, they should be pissing the league. And our league form was dipping. And as I say, if I'd have lost that day, I think we drew that day, and then the following week, I went on and on and on. And it was one of the ones, right? after the game, I thought, right, we've survived that, we've drawn. Sitting in the office, big sergeant comes in, Mr. Dale, when are you leaving the stadium? I went, what's it got to do with you on Wednesday? No, we're just going to give you a little escort to your car.
Did I wait for you outside the ground as well?
Oh, big lines, mate. I had to walk. But see, to be fair, my wee chairman, Bill Barr, went, can you drop me at the office, Gordon? And I'm thinking, why does he want me to drop him at his office? Because he's got drivers and everything, right? And it was to show the support.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the two years went through and it was absolutely brilliant.
So do you think, Barry, where do you stand there? Should he be given more time, Barry? Was the right decision?
I think it's hard because last year, obviously, when they came in, they went on a brilliant run, finished third. They're so far behind now. They've had their European campaign, and to an extent, that was kind of used as an excuse, you know, having the games Thursday, coming back, playing the Sunday, trying to manage a squad. And then I think that, you know, people were hoping that they would see a better Aberdeen, better results, better performances, and they've not really seen it. The two games coming up for them as well. Tough games, Celtic Rangers. So I think that I caught the end of what Derek was saying. I think when you're putting a young coach into a manager's role, they're going to make mistakes.
Of course.
They're going to go through bad spells. You came in and they had a brilliant spell, and see, when that happens, everything you do works. So you're no learning, if you know what I mean. So he's coming through, or he was in a bad spell. The fans had gone. The fans had turned. I think when the fans go, then it's inevitable there's going to be change. The issue
they turned the other three times as well, didn't they? And that's not worked.
I know. Well, that's the issue. What do they do next? Because there's three managers run about this time in the last 3 years that they've got rid of.
And it's a game at the end of the season and see what he does then, decide now.
I think
Faddy just says it, when the fans turn like that, and it was horrible.
Aye.
To hear that, you know, and you can't.
They weren't playing well either.
It's not been great.
And the thing is, that's a good squad of players. Aye. Whoever gets that job, they've got
and
a lot to work with.
Spent money in the summer. They've got a really good squad. They should be doing so much better. And that's management. If you're underachieving, especially with the expectation, and you finish third and get into the group stages of Europe, then inevitably you're going to come under pressure.
Because of Hearts, how far ahead Hearts are at the minute. So they'll look at
Hearts
that.
Hearts also
well.
Had European football as well, didn't they?
Aye.
They're in the same situation as Aberdeen.
Aye. So
who's the candidate centre to replace him? Neil Warnock's been mentioned. That would be incredible.
75-year-old, eh?
Mate,
it's time for
I'm
you, yeah.
Back in.
I'm not about age. I think management's all about. I think management's all about, especially at clubs like that. You can get in, you've got people that can do all your coaching, and you've got all the help in the world nowadays. I think it's all about that man.
Yeah. That's what he's good at. Warner,
but they go through wee fads where they go with the younger guys now. I think now you might go back to a wee bit of experience. Yeah, I would love to see that with Warnock, just to come in instead of the ship until the summer.
The season, yeah.
I think he'd be a breath of fresh air up here.
As well as, look at his age, but you look at the last few jobs that he's went into. You know, he goes into Huddersfield, they look like they're on the way down, he manages to keep them up, save them. He's just got an act. He's just got a way of getting the best out of what's there, and it's not a bad. It's not a team that are, you know, facing relegation or that are struggling in terms of to get results. Of course, otherwise Barry's still being charged. But
it's not
they're a good squad. Yeah. It's a good squad of players. He's got. to go in and work with. So I know people look at it and say, well, what's the plan? Well, there's been a plan. There's been a plan with Stephen Glass, they didn't see it through. There was a plan with Jim Goodwin, they didn't see it through. Mm. There's been a plan with Barry Robson, they've not seen it through. So Barry's obviously lost his job because they don't look like they're going to get third. They don't look like they can string that run that went on last year, win after win after win. Could Neil Warnock do it? I think he could.
See, Alec Neil that mentioned as well, wouldn't it be a bad appointment?
It's a good shout, by the way.
Good experience.
I'll be the same candidates, that's what happens. They all come, they would work again. You know, you talk about, people are talking about Jack Ross, but Jack Ross leave the job he's in?
I don't, but you need to look at, you know, the way it's... You don't appoint a manager based on what the fans think, but, you know, unfairly sacked at Hibs for me, Jack Ross. Didn't work out at Dundee United for him. The fans will be looking, saying, well, we need somebody that's not a guarantee, but, you know, better equipped, if you like.
Who would Warnock's assistant be? Who was it?
Stuart McCall?
I was just thinking,
he's at Sheffield United.
Oh,
he was the heckin' bottom.
I thought it was Stuart because he's with the state, you know, the Scottish game, wasn't he?
Stuart McCall's brilliant.
Well, just quickly before I move on, you said about you turned it round, but what was your first sacking? Was it Air United? How did it come
about? I moved everything about to Air. My first sacking was at Raith Rovers.
And can you talk us to like the couple of days leading up to how, when did you know it was coming?
A couple of days, I knew fucking 3 months prior. Because the boys that took me in, they were leaving. And the minute they were leaving, I knew that the chairman that was there, he wanted to remember the wee boy Terry Christie.
Aye.
The duffel coat.
Is this still what is that?
His boy.
He come out again, right, boys, warm up.
I played under Terry. I was at Alaba for a season.
Boys, what they're getting weight test in there. Bang. The slosh. When the day is done.
Daz, he had a domestic with his boy. His boy was playing
that's
at the
right,
time. They
right.
Came in at half time and he started having a go at his boy. And I was going like that and he went, you never tidied your room this morning. And the two, and we were like, you're sitting with each other.
You left a wet sock.
Aye.
And for, that wet sock. I was just thinking, sock,
wasn't that wet sock? And for 10, and for 10, 15 minutes, the two of them were having a domestic and we just got up and went back
out. That's a game.
Max Christie. And his boy was actually not a bad player, Max Christmas.
Max was the manager of
Tunis.
Max's a good guy, yeah.
Well, his dad, that's
right. His dad, right, so he sacked you.
No, they wanted him in. I knew that him and Turnbull Hutton were best mates. So once the boys left, they broke me in, I thought, right, it's just a matter of time. I knew what was happening. But I'd already been well looked after. I had a nice 3-year contract. I was sitting home for a fucking sack, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think we played well today, chairman. How's it looking? Are the fans outside you? And then I ended up I actually get sacked in Glasgow because I wouldn't go to Kirkcaldy.
Really?
I knew what was happening.
Good for you, mate. Does it hurt when you get sacked? Although that's happening around you, does it hurt?
Big time. Easy as a pain if you get your money. There's no doubt in that. But of course it does, because people don't not understand the circumstances. That's the thing. They watch the results, but you've got to understand. I walked into Raith Rovers when nobody could talk English, right? It was a fucking French club. 30 French guys in there. I'd started looking into their backgrounds. I had a guy that had retired 5 years prior, right? 5 years prior, I had a couple of guys that had never played 11 aside. There were 5-a-sides, right? They get signed for 5-a-side football. We had a guy, I never told you this, just quite with this boy, quite so quickly. I walks in.
Never quickly.
I says, what length's the squad then? And we've got this boy Herbie up front. I don't know if you remember him. Big, big, strong unit up front. Probably get $1 million for him. Right, and I'm thinking, oh fuck, that's great then, because if we can get rid of him, get some finances in, need to get rid of all these boys, they're no good, they've just brought over false promises. I says, right, okay, well, get big Herbie, here's a man, $1 million quid, right. So I watch Herbie and I'm thinking, he's fucking homeless, right? I mean, he was fucking homeless. So I'm thinking, $1 million quid. So I pulls a big guy in, and I says to him, Herbie, I says, how do you think it's gone? Ah, not very good, is it? I went, you're a £1 million player. Well, ask you again. Ah, no, no, very good, Gaffer, not very good. He says, but to be fair, he says, I know that I might not be able to make it as a footballer, but I'm a good handy man, he says. Right. No, he's went for £1 million player. You're a fucking handy man.
Tajana.
Right. And I went, you're what? He went, yeah, he says, I've noticed around about the building that there's.
No way. Fuck off, he said that.
On my life.
You're right.
I've noticed it.
On my life. No. See if you get Sean Dennis.
Chain with a tool belt on.
And all of a sudden, he's walking in. And I'm going, Herbie, he went, yeah, he says, I didn't think I would make it this level, he says, but obviously Claude told me that, you know, the Scottish football wasn't as hard as what I thought, but it's too difficult. And he says, but I can, he says, I love Scotland, I love Kirkcaldy, I love the place and all that. He says, I can do odd jobs. I'm sitting there going,
that's incredible.
You're a £1 million player, mate. Now you're fucking getting
him. That's one of the best stories I've heard.
Now you're on £12 an hour for fucking maintenance.
Is that like, he works in B&Q?
I'm not kidding, I could write a book about up there, mate.
Amazing. Right, talking about recruitment, Celtic are going to sign Adam Aida.
Surprised it's taken so long, surprised it's a loan, and surprised it's a loan for, you know, a guy that's not really playing regular. I mean, we don't know the ins and outs, we don't know if Celtic have identified, you know, a main target, couldn't get him, and thought, right, well, we need to get a body in, so, you know, we'll take a punt on, you know, a boy on loan. But it's no the type of player, I have to say off the bat, that you would think, aye, that's you know, an area Celtic needs strengthened. Aye, he was a striker, but you just don't know how good he's going to be. Certainly if he's no playing in Norwich's team, which I'm not saying Norwich are poor, but you need somebody to come in that's ready. Look, he might be. He's obviously got a decent reputation, and maybe just going through a tough time and a change of scenery might help him. He's an international player, so I think that because of what Celtic fans have been looking for, it'll be underwhelming for them, but you've got to give them a chance.
See, that's the last two windows now. It's kind of been last minute deals. Under the last manager, everything was done early doors. Why would that be?
I think one is difficult because who's going to come here and sit and, you know, say for instance, you go and get Shankly. Shankly's not got to come to Celtic and sit on the bench, is he?
Well, Kyogo, please.
Kyogo. So you need somebody that's going to be either better than Kyogo, or you're going to end up with a loan system like this.
It might be one that he's seen and thought, aye, his profile, it looks big, physical.
Strong,
you know, it can be, whether it's crosses into the box or a different style to be able to play up and ruin him. It could be that sometimes you look at what a player has, what their attributes are, and what they can bring to your team, rather than what's his stats, how many minutes they played, what's this. So you've got to assume that the manager knows what he's bringing. And it might not be exciting, but it might be effective.
I don't believe for one minute, Fergie, that Celtic haven't tried to get quality into their... I don't believe, right. Now, you know what like it is? Players nowadays and agents and whatever, you might look at a deal that you go, I want that player, his quality. They might not fancy Scotland, might not fancy the money, they might not fancy. So
they might be using them to get another move.
What about Rangers recruitment? Are you happy with what Rangers have done?
Still think they need another forward in. The boy, Jeff, do you think that's falling through, isn't it? The left back.
Some other saying that's going
to happen. So I don't think, well, then you look at Yilmaz.
Wee man's flying, isn't he?
He's honestly
all right. He's doing
He's doing well.
I think everybody's, just my opinion, I think everybody's getting too excited because he's had a couple of good games. I'm not saying he's not played well, he's had a couple of good games.
But
he's
do you not know think brilliant. It's, no, I know, but do you not think he's shown that he's good enough? No?
I don't,
would you
my
play
opinion is,
first?
That's a good question, by the way, because Barrett meant, In the big games, I think he lets himself down. In the pressure games, I don't think he handles it.
I think he's put himself in his first choice.
I think with Barisic, I think Barisic still gives you more going forward in terms of the quality of ball. And I think it gives you energy, with Yilmaz. You can see that. But I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's just as a player that I look at him physically and I don't think he's Clement's type of player. Yeah. I think until such times as he can get a good left back in terms of that physicality, that
but
bit
if
of
you,
strength.
If he so, plays the way he's been playing, if he knew at the end of the season, I know there's been rumours or interest for Turkey, talking of 2 and 3 million. If he plays the way he's been playing at the end of the season, they might get more money for him because the boy Jeff is obviously the guy they've identified. I think he's done well. I think
he's done. You look at him,
the two things: his height, he can't identify about it, but he is getting stronger. And his final ball, and I think that's getting better. I think that he's getting better. Teams are targeting him, hitting diagonals on him.
He's not getting done.
He's learning that because he's height, he can use his body and put them off in their jump and
tackle their tummies.
I think he's done well. I've always thought there's something in there because he's positive, he wants to drive forward, he's picking up the wee areas in midfield as well to go and drive and bring bodies into him. I think he's done really well.
A right winger's came in, well, looks like he's going to come in, Oscar Cortez for Lens.
I think he's a left winger. Another left winger.
Can't be another.
Well, see, they say the guy said they can play anywhere across, but he loves to cut in on his right
foot. By the way, I had a player that came in, I was going to sign him, and I went, "Where do you play?" He says, "Oh, anywhere in the H."
I went, the H?
I went, "Oh, what do you mean?" He went, "Well, you see, just look at a football part and draw an H on it. I can play anywhere in the H." True as fuck, right? Anywhere in the H. Just draw an H on a football part. I can play anywhere in the positions. So you could play up and down that wing. You could play up and down that wing. You could play across there. Anywhere in the H. I signed them.
How was it?
Fucking brilliant. You never come off the H. I'm like, go in here,
incredible. Livy, opportunity to clock back is a point enough to get closer to Ross County. Ross County would be more happy than Livingston with that result, wouldn't they?
No. Then I get closer to them, did they?
No, same. Is that a missed opportunity?
Aye, I think so. I think, look, they're obviously in a bad situation, and when you've playing at home, you need to start picking up points, especially when it's teams that's run about you. Davey spoke about, you know, having money now. He had no money going into the window now. He's got money and he just can't attract the players because they're in a relegation fight. He went into it before the game the other night. If he's trying to sign a player and telling them, look, if we go down, your money's cut. They're no what to come, are they? So they're in a tough situation at the minute. They need to obviously start getting points. And you're looking at, when you're playing teams round about you, you have to win these games because you're no getting any closer to them. The other teams round about you, if they get a win, they go further away. And it's probably a better psychology for Ross County that, all right, they probably come away and say they could have won the game, but they're not getting any closer to them.
The last minute equaliser, that maybe give them a wee boost. Is there anything you can hang on to with that? He's back. Should have won it in chances.
I love Davey. I think he's a great character. I used to go and sit in his office. Brilliant, great lad. I've got a lot of time for him.
Well, just randomly sit in his office. Just like his dad needing the toilet.
Is that his dad? That's a wee man's password on his laptop. But he's back talking about the fire in the belly because of RNA, and they come back every time they were behind and stuff like that, a wee bit character, a wee bit fire. But he then goes to Ibrox at the weekend. They concede too many goals for me. They can't get clean sheets. I think injuries as well, Dad. Would you just go fuck it?
I'm going to go new Blaine Anderson up front every game and just go for it.
He's tried that. He has tried that. It's not going forward, hasn't been the problem so much. Right, it's the mistakes I'm making defensively. And some of them are, you know, go back early the last few weeks, even the whole season. Some of the goals that you're looking at going, that's an easy goal and something like that you would never say about Livingston.
They have got a few injuries, and you hear them saying, and you talk about the character, they've got all that. See, at the end of the day, I think they're just going to come up short quality-wise. That's what it'll boil down to at the end of the day. You need to get into his office, man.
I'll be in there.
Is it since you've started going office that they've been shining?
You need to stay out of the office. No, he doesn't go to games anymore.
For the next job.
He doesn't go to games anymore.
No, I don't go to games.
Did you know what he's... You know how if you go and work at a game, you take a packed lunch? Yeah. Do you know what he used to take?
Yeah.
Cheese and biscuits.
I had a cheese board that's in
there. Just on your lap.
Because COVID, you weren't getting it.
Right, so you're going to stadiums
and you're a wee bit hungry, take a sandwich.
This is news to me. You took a cheese board.
Cheese board. He's sitting in St Mirren.
I got the full stuff out. The Max Spencer's cheese board. Got a knife, wee bit of butter, whatever.
Some of them come with all that healthy stuff, man. And once you open it and they start eating it, it's reeking, man, innit?
Well, how would you not like this again? What is it?
Listen, see if I'm going in again.
What is it?
It's a Mars bar. You're that shit, man.
Nice,
that's
mate.
I'm a Mars bar, man.
What's your favourite chutney? There you go. What's your favourite chutney with cheese?
Mine is just caramelised onion.
What about a bit of chilli jam?
My missus uses that all the time. She puts that in weird things.
Well, like your ass.
She puts it weird, like, in a... You go, how does that go? That doesn't even...
Chilli jam goes everywhere, mate.
I've never tried chilli jam.
Oh, beautiful, jam. Is it? A wee bit of brie, chilli jam.
Oh, I need to get myself into that. What's
the most unusual sort of thing that you would put chilli jam on? If you're coming up.
Chilli jam, I had something. You could put it on a lot. I miss things, chilli jam. Stick it on a chili jam, you get the chili jam, steak sandwich, you'll be trying that, I'm off of that, I was thinking of going vegan, are you going to stick it on to you last week, you said you can't eat all that healthy shit, how can you go vegan?
I'm going vegan.
Are you going to stick it on the boys' dinner when you make them, when Carol's away?
I'm going vegan for a month.
Tell me one thing that's vegan that you can eat.
Exactly. He doesn't know.
Grass.
Did you see him there strapping part like
that? Grass, aye.
Phoning me every minute.
No, the best would be when you go shopping for it. Excuse me, is this vegan? Excuse me, is this vegan?
I thought that was something that
I'm off a drink for a month. I'm going to do dry February. I'm going to try it, mate.
That's fucking easy.
Why?
No, it's not easy. Just because I feel like a Jakey bastard, mate. I said that on the podcast.
Why don't you just start drinking only at weekends instead of drinking every night?
You don't drink every night, do you?
Mate, it's
like
a lot of nights.
Wine in that?
Organic Prosecco, though. So it's not too bad for you.
What about last Wednesday?
That was rum and coke. That was fucking... That was a bad one. I was in here fucking...
See, he says only drink at the weekend. That's what I do and I still get caned.
Aye.
But I try and...
No, but Wednesday
much.
Nights I'll sometimes open a bottle of rum and like do that. The full fucking thing in your...
Well, the full bottle.
No way.
That's my...
Seriously? A full bottle of rum?
Me and her together, half a bottle each.
Well, that must be some conversation at 8 o'clock.
Well, there's no conversation right now.
You're starting to look good again.
Get it,
hold on a minute.
Get a chilli jam out.
Oh. You like the organic Prosecco? You've had that?
No, I don't care.
That's nice. You had that, Faddy,
nah?
No. What would be, if you were going to have a drink in the house, what would you have?
A beer,
what, Moretti?
No, a Peroni or actually a Paretti.
Pretty nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Do you know what I really like? The zero alcohol Guinness.
Oh, fuck off.
Mate, have you tried it?
Waste of time, man.
No, it's not. Honestly.
Better after a month.
I do love a Guinness, though.
Oh, I like Guinness, I go the zero.
I'll tell you what, though, I went to a party once and I was driving, so I had non-alcoholic beer.
It's all right.
It is all right. And do you know what the best part is? Nobody knows you're no drinking.
Exactly.
So they don't annoy you.
Aye.
What are you no drinking for?
Aye.
You just come out with shots, you go, no, it's all right, I'm no one shots. I'm drinking my fucking blue beer.
I've done that at Christmas.
And they don't notice because they're staying.
We have a team, we went up to the bar and we're ordering drinks and we kept ordering the boy non-alcoholic cocktails. Never knew.
Right.
And he's starting acting steaming. No, right. Him, mate. There's nothing, no fucking thing. We've done that at Swindon, my boy.
Tried
the races, yeah. Mate.
What about the snus? You tried the snus?
No, fuck that, mate.
I'm thinking maybe venturing into that area.
What's up with you?
I don't know.
You're trying to cut down in there. You're getting better as you get older, so don't need to change anything.
No, so don't go with the snus.
No, mate, that'll drag you into a deep hole.
You don't need to change
See,
it. And
Darren gets his delivered quite a lot. He, my oldest boy still stymies. The old package comes through, and I know where it is right away. And it's a strong
Does
stuff.
He take it all the time?
Oh, by the way, aye.
I took, Sean Dennis used to fucking take that every 2 minutes.
What, even back in the day?
He had it down his sock when I told you he played against.
Not to put it in your mouth, no, your sock.
St. John, no, he was just during the game. I don't think, mate. I was like, wait.
Barry likes it. Barry likes us now.
Aye. There's quite a lot. Honest,
Larson, Lennon, Yabby, they all done it. Say like fucking battered it.
No.
The high strength stuff.
Come on,
yeah. What's your day for? You just give you a kick.
Give you a nicotine, aye. Just give you a.
You're flying, you don't need that. I don't need that in your life. I don't need anything else in your life.
You're just running about with me, I'll look.
You're doing well, mate.
You're getting out a Sunday walk.
Just stick to the challenge, gym.
Get back to the gym.
It's the vegan. This is the vegan, mate. You can't get it. It's not vegan.
No, I've changed for that. No.
Right, talking about flying, one team who are flying for me, Dundee, not just on the pitch, but their transfer window. Curtis Main, boy Michael Mellon, looks a player who they've got for Burnley. And getting on back, what a great bit of
They must have been buzzing when they came on that game for Liverpool.
Check Tony Docherty was sitting watching that game, fucking on that pitch, man. That is a great window for Dundee, innit?
Aye, brilliant. They've had a brilliant season. I know that people look at them now and because they're getting a wee bit of hype, they'll be like, look here, Dundee never won again or whatever, but what a season they're having. And you know, when you're a manager, you can have all the best ideas, you need to have the players, and his recruitment has been absolutely magnificent for the start of the season, brilliant January window, and it shows you the ambition of the club is they want to get higher up the table. They will be talking about it, top six, I've spoken about this before, they will be talking about getting into top six, no doubt, and that the transfers tell you that that's the ambition of the club.
So see, on that, Faddy, who do you give credit to that for the recruitment? You go, is that Tony Docherty or have Dundee got a...
I don't know how it works in there. Recruitment in places? I don't know how it works. I don't know whether it's Doc using his contacts or... I don't know. But you still need to bring the players in. You know, every time you bring a like Owen Beck coming up in the summer, people are looking, going, well, he's a young lad for Liverpool. Is he good? Is he no? He gets to play and you get to see how good he is, so I'd imagine that either you go and you can watch it. All games are filmed now, aren't they? So yeah, you can watch them all or go down and do the old fashioned hard yards and watch these guys in the flesh. But the recruitment's been excellent. They've had a brilliant season, Dundee. Yeah. They're a really good team as
like
well.
Like Bakayoko's a good player, isn't he?
Aye. I like the fact there's a couple who have came up for the championship. Aye. And all, Tiffany and Luke McCowan.
McCowan,
yeah,
brilliant.
Isn't he? Good player. You've seen that. I watched them when he was playing the championship. So it's good to see boys like that doing really well.
Ashcroft as well, obviously scoring. Mm-hmm.
He's the best header of the Bourne Branch.
Good player.
I think they'd have been a wee bit disappointed. I went home last Tuesday when they were playing Hearts and watched the second half.
Aye.
And I turned it on and I'm going, fucking hell, they're beating Hearts 2-0 at Tynecastle. But then there's still a wee bit to go for me because they became, and I know you can give credit to Hearts, but they became a bit negative.
You said that
deeper and deeper, and you're looking thinking, if Hearts get one back here, you're going to be under pressure and end up losing the game 3-2. But you're right, their recruitment's been good, they're having a good season, still a bit to go for Dundee, but he's done brilliant.
But when you come up, normally it's just about relegation, and it is the aim. But
Faddy, see, if you're going to have a season, it's probably a season, isn't it? You look at teams, Livier, Nightmare, St Johnston, all over the place, Motherwell, all over the place, St Mirren started brilliantly, dropping a lot of stone.
Kelly are strong this year, aren't they?
Kelly are went that way. Aberdeen sacked their manager. You know, Hibs. Look at their record, winning games in the last, 10 or whatever. So it's a great opportunity this year, I think, if you're a club especially if you come up and you've got good, you've got a great opportunity to get in that top six.
You still need to do it though, didn't you?
Exactly,
you still need to do it, and they have, and I think you spoke on that at the Hearts game, saying that he was disappointed they became negative, but when you go 2-0 up at Tynecastle, and then you get to half time, you're thinking,
who's the other wee fella in the middle of the park?
Good play. Cameron.
That's
what I like about Tony Dock as well. He's played young players as well.
Signed the boy Charlie Riley as well.
Charlie Riley's
Novus, and he's
maybe that experience will do them well, because maybe that was a wee bit of inexperience.
What about the boy Bevan signed for Burnley?
Maybe, did you see his goal against us? East Kilbride?
No, I watched him.
He had 78% possession. They just kicked the ball to him. He beat two boys and fucking stank. He's a good player.
Good player. I watched him against Stirling Uni in the cup.
So where's he went to? Sorry, Faddy. The boys were saying last night he was linked to Burnley. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Where from? Albion Rovers.
Brilliant.
It shows, mate. There's good. That
young, I think 18, like 17, 19, mate.
Built like a big, fucking unit.
Quick, good left fit.
That's brilliant. That's
good player.
Yeah.
Who was a boy back in the day? Played with Albion Rovers. Went to play with Middlesbrough.
Tirinho.
Oh, what was his name? Can you remember him?
Albion. Well, it's funny you should say this because this is the next topic. Have you ever looked at? Because the boy Behick's got a move to Al Nassr. You ever played with or against somebody, and it's came up in Sky Sports News, and you went, "How the fuck has he got that move?"
They have Sky Sports News.
No, that.
On teletext.
Tommy Gravison one. Tommy got to Real Madrid.
Oh, Real Madrid.
It was the like, how's he got that? Because we knew how good he was. It was just
surreal.
How are Real Madrid signing up with him at that time?
I remember that reaction, mate.
Tommy's just staring, going, I'm going to Real Madrid.
Did you remember? Did he come in or did you see it on Sky Sports?
No, he was in.
He come in before.
He was in. He was in the training ground. He's like, I'm going to Real Madrid. He's like, can't believe it. They're sending a plane out to pick me up. They phoned me and asked me what number I want, and he says, I can't believe it.
Did you go? Near could be.
No. Tommy was a good player. Uh-huh. Tommy was a good player.
Any use?
I played with a wee guy, Paul Sweeney, left back. He was only part time at Reith. And a wee bit like yourself, at the end of the season, he walked in and he went, that's me, I've signed with Newcastle. Mate, it was the worst thing I've ever happened to him, right? He was doing, he signed the Monday. He was speaking like a fucking Geordie with the Thursday, right? He was fucking taking poppers and everything the Saturday night after again. I'm no, honestly, what a week he had in his life. He still lives down there, does he? Oh, by the way, married a darling, he was the ugliest fucker you've ever
seen. You hate Paul Sweeney, didn't you? You're not bad about that at all, mate.
What he left out was, how are they signing you and no signing me?
What a good player he was, but he was one of the nicest boys in the world, but he was fucking ugly, right? He was, and he ends up, he phones us, I'm getting married, we goes down. Everyone, how the fuck? Obviously, she was a Newcastle fan. I don't know if they're still together, because she left Newcastle. But he's still there, but what a player.
Paul. Oh, what a player.
By the way, we've been doing, I didn't realise how big Newcastle was at that time, because he invited us down to one of the games and in director's box, and we're in about, Jesus Christ, they're mental for a football down there.
You were definitely sniffing about the bird, didn't you?
Saturday night, fucking brilliant. Brilliant. I was like, I hope you got 3 years here, mate. Honestly.
I'll be doing every Saturday. But you got anybody, Derek, springs to mind?
No, nobody. Get my mind on the dentist now.
Oh, you went to the dentist, mate?
Right, root treatment. So that's me. I'm starting
to get it. You got a toothache?
Oh, I fucking had it for the past 3 weeks. It's way out the back.
Is it?
So aye.
Now you're wearing a bit of the pain there, Fergie boy.
I'm wearing pain. Knee.
Do
you hear?
Give him a hug.
Do you know he's done himself fell out of his flat?
I done, man.
I seen him.
Aye, her by the way, I want to tell him the real story. Fucking her husband came on him unexpectedly. Had to jump out the window. By the way, you've got a nice
jump
house.
Out the window.
You got a lovely garden.
Just on deadline day, how good was, remember deadline day back in the day when the reporters used to go to side the training ground? Was it Everton when the guy goes, did you get that dildo back? that used to be brilliant to watch, didn't remember that?
Oh, aye.
The reporters
had to stop it though, didn't they? Because the people were getting.
Did you ever go to a last day transfer, Faddy, or was there ever rumours that you going?
I went to Everton, I went, but no, in the January in the summer.
Summer, but last day?
Last day,
where did you go?
Why did it take up to the last day?
Because the summer there was interest for Celtic when I was at Motherwell, and then probably came up to the weekend before the window shut. I think the Monday, Everton were interested the whole summer. They tried to sign me in January, and then the summer they were like, right, we've got £4 million to spend, which back then that was all they had, obviously. So we're going to try and sign Sean Davis, but if we don't sign Sean Davis, then we're going to sign 4 players. So Sean Davis broke down. Go to the Sunday, I think, the day before the window shut, and we're like, right, let's get this deal done, and then Motherwell wouldn't sell me.
What are you? Are you raging?
Aye, because got the Premier League. Yeah, I knew they were interested, but it's different. An agent telling you, aye, they're interested, and well, you might be able to move. You're a wee bit like, especially when you're younger.
Who was
your
agent?
John Lonergan. I was just like, aye, great, you know, like, I'm playing football and fine. And then the bid comes in and you're like, ah, this is the Premier League, I need to go. So I had to go down on the Monday. I was on international duty, I think, as well. Or I was going on international duty. So I went down on the Monday. And I had to get a medical done. I had a problem with my right foot when I was younger. I had a stress fracture. A fracture that I didn't know about.
Hammer.
That kind of healed itself, but no really. So I was getting problems. Then I had two stress fractures on the outside. And I missed that pre-season, so I had to go and get a medical. So I had to sign the contract before the window shut, subject to pass the medical. Oh, so I'd signed the contract and I'm like, my foot, I've got a big lump in my foot, I've still got it. Because the bone grew out to heal itself.
So you know exactly what you're getting into, so that money's in your
so
head.
So I knew, I'd signed everything. I'd signed everything, so I knew my foot was, like, because it was that bad, I was running on the outside of it. So I'd got stress fractures in this fourth and fifth metatarsal, and I'd missed that pre-season. So I knew my foot wasn't in a good way, and I knew that there was nothing that could be done about it. So I'm like, just please pass this medical. I've signed, and if I didn't, I'd signed the contract, I'd signed the release to register with Everton. So if I didn't get it, I wouldn't have been able to play until the January, and then I'm like, my move's not going
to... You wouldn't be able to play for anybody?
No, because I'd signed the release form, so once you're no registered to Motherwell, but they get extra time to register you if the medical's fine.
Fuck, do you know what Dad said was doing? You missed it earlier. He used to take a hammer to his foot
so that he wouldn't need to train the next day.
Oh, I couldn't pass a medical.
It was your man, the handyman's hammer, wasn't it?
Big hairband, used to phone him. What are you doing Monday night, £1 million player? Get your arse down to Motherwell. I need you. Oh, I've got a job for you.
And then it just come back all your pants.
So the medical, there was a wee bit of issue with it because that was there. So I had to just say, look, I had that when I was maybe 15, and I've played on. Obviously, I missed the summer because of the stress fractures. It was obviously compensating for that. And they're saying, right, we know the issue. We know you've had it. They had to go and see a specialist. They says, I'm going to pass you. But I'm sitting in that meeting waiting for him to say, I'm going to recommend that you pass your medical.
Certainly you had to have that money spent, mate.
Oh, your money in your hands. Oh, I
would have that done, honestly. I'm telling you now.
How much was that again? Well, did you ever get close to a move that never happened? Or did that ever happen to your career?
The Motherwell one.
You said that.
Maybe Billy Davis.
Yeah, it never happened.
So I could have been cleaning your boots.
Boots, I know.
Said that. I'd have fancied that. So I would have.
What about you, Dad? Did you ever get a move that you thought you were getting? It never happened.
Nah. Newcastle. Nah, I would have loved it. I'd have blown my
mind. How long would you have lasted? Not in a day with football.
By the way,
I was bad.
Mate, I was bad enough in Manchester. I was
two hammers you'd have had, weren't you? If you're doing it in Newcastle. I'm not training today.
Manchester route.
Oh, Man City, that's right, the move, isn't it?
Oh, fuck me, mate.
Do you remember getting the phone call to tell you you were going to Man City?
I went down in St Andrews Day.
Telegram.
Saint and Sinai. And I walked in and Dennis Law was sitting, I was sitting having a chat with him before I went in to meet Big Billy.
What was Dennis Law speaking to you about?
Just asking me how Glasgow that was. Calling me Daz and everything. It's good.
Two legends of the game, innit? Two legends.
The people that ran about there, I used to run about with Alex Higgins, not a snooker player.
Oh, did you? Hurricane Higgins?
Oh, fuck me, mate. He was worse than him. He was fucking.
What, on the drink line?
We believe you.
You can't just throw Alex Higgins in there, mate. It's my name
here. At the end of the show as well. What do you mean hang about him? Did you play snooker against him, or would you actually go together?
You ever heard the boy Chubby Chandler, it's the agent boy for all the golfers and all that? Right, he was in the hotel. He sort of had a bit part in the hotel, owned it or whatever, but I was staying. He phoned me and he says, you into snooker? Now, I'm a 100-odd break man at snooker. I was brilliant at snooker at the time. And, true as fuck. Right, that's with John Higgins. That's how I run about with him. And he says, I'm going round, he says, to see Alex. I was like, Alex who? And he went, Alex Higgins, you want to come round? I went round and I met him. I ended up at, see when he beat Steve Davis at the Guildhall in Preston. Come back, I think he beat him 17, 16 or 18, 17, whatever it may be. I drove him back for winning. Mate, honestly, I've never, the sweat and everything was coming.
So what happened? Did you go to Manchester and Man City were like, we want to sign you, we think you're going to make money, and you went, I can do driving as well. Oh, I can be a driver as well.
big joke I left, it was after a Scottish Cup final was my last game, and the season started, and I knew I wasn't going to get involved, and big joke says, look, Billy McNeil wants to talk to you, but don't sign anything before you phone me. But the money didn't help. It ruined me.
We need some Higgins stories.
Higgins and Alex Higgins story before just to end the show.
Alex.
Did he play Steam and Alex Higgins?
I did that time.
Used to sit and have pints and flags while they were playing.
He used to have 8 pints before he got into his groove.
You should see him drink vodka and orange, right? I'm not kidding you on. It was frightening. And then they would run about with him because he was a lovely guy, but he was.
Have you watched the thing? It's good. Watch it.
Is he Irish?
He gave you 50 a start, and at that time, remember, you're going back to 85, 86, so he gave you 50 a start for 20, 30 quid, which is
decent
dough by anyhow. And that's how we'd practice. And two things, he loved the money, but it always had an edge to him. And there was a guy, Tabby, I'll never forget him, from Wales. I wonder if he's listening to us. And he came in and he looked a player, and he scored about 20-30 against Higgins. And he beat him. And Higgins was fucking, and I'm looking going, he's getting off his, he's ready to wreck this place because the boy beat him. And he just wiped about 20 guys. He just picked up fucking a right few quid as well. But he was,
Did you ever beat him?
I played him a few times.
You never beat him?
Nah, never really.
Come on.
Me, John? No, I've never played John.
Yeah, Slaney played him.
John, I was going to say John's a good player.
Fucking P-Tank, champion. John's a good player. Right, come on, Coon. Faddy, do you know the scores for the weekend? Gordon got 2-6, you got 3-6, and me and the Del Boy got 5-6.
No bad.
That wasn't effort for me, was it? Fuck. First time here.
Right, well, since you can go last then, so you can see what other people are picking first. So, Faddy, Aberdeen, Celtic.
Aberdeen, I think, will get a wee lift.
Seriously?
Aye.
Are you going to Aberdeen?
No, I'm just...
you're thinking of drawing.
The process, yeah. I'm getting my mind on it.
Celtic.
Aye. I think Celtic will win. But I think Aberdeen will get a wee lift.
Tight game, but Celtic will edge it.
Does.
Oh, Celtic will do
it. Rangers, Livingston. Rangers.
Aye, Rangers.
Aye. Agreed.
Dundee v Hearts.
It's a good one, that, isn't it?
This all depends on...
Go with Jambos. Even though I like Dundee and they're good at home.
I'm going draw.
It depends on who they've got left.
The Jambos. They're in a good place at the minute.
Still got the transfer one, didn't they?
For Dundee or Hearts?
No, they got Boy Fraser in as well, haven't they?
Put me down as a
draw. For Daz.
I'll go Dundee then.
You're going Dundee.
So one Dundee, one Hearts and two draws. Motherwell v Kilmarnock.
I know you're going.
Motherwell.
I'll go
Kelly.
I'll go draw.
I think I'm a jinx.
See the two games you've just went, that's what I was thinking, draw, but I just think
Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Halliday's in too.
Aye.
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly, I'll change.
That's a boost for my group.
Right, because he'll probably have to play left wing back as well. Motherwell for me.
Okay, Ross County, St Johnston.
I'm going to go Ross County.
You wouldn't even take a ball up there, would
Ross
you?
County.
That's a good...
You fucking let them run about, right? Shadow football for me, you boys.
That's fucking brilliant.
Okay.
Who are you going, Ross County?
Ross County.
Del.
Draw. I'm going to draw.
I'll go a sneaky St Johnson.
I'm going to draw as well. And Hibs v St Mirren.
A few draws, if you know that. Uh-huh.
Hibs, I'm going.
I'm going to go Hibs.
St Mirren?
Bournemouth Reserves. I'll go Bournemouth Reserves.
There you go, I'm going to go St Mirren.
St Mirren would beat Hibs Easter Road. Mm-hmm. No, yep. I'm not fancying that. I'm going Hibs, mate.
Hibs. Boys, absolute pleasure. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.